turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, reading verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, reading together verses 1 and 2. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Father, as we continue to consider together this evening, we pray that you will do a deep work of the Spirit upon our hearts and minds until you will clarify and bring understanding and give us new direction for this journey called life. In thy precious name we pray. Amen. Some of these important words from the second verse of the 12th chapter have been translated by Moffat like this. Have your mind renewed, and so be transformed in nature. D.L. Moody once said, I have had more trouble with myself than with any other man I ever met. And if a man like D.L. Moody could say that, what about the rest of us? It wouldn't be surprising if all of us might share in that confession. One has said this is due, really, to our dual nature of dust and deity. There is that one part of us that aspires to godliness, but there is that other part that draws us to shameful desires, ugly thoughts and regrettable actions and words. And we all know the scripture over in Romans 7, 15 through 19, where Paul rather describes this condition, for he ends up saying in effect, oh, there's something within me that wants to be good and to do good. But when I try to obey that impulse within me, I so often find myself doing the wrong thing and doing the very thing I do not want to do. There is this warfare, there is this conflict going on within me that does not allow me to do the good that I would do. He says there's a good side and a bad side to mankind. And the key question is, how do we make the bad side like the good side? Well, Paul has a solution to suggest. He says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, if we had the time this evening, we could probably prove to our satisfaction that the mind is really the key to man. And the way to become a completely transformed person is by the refashioning of the mind. Now, before we see how to renew the mind, I want to take a moment to consider a couple of basic things about the mind. First of all, there are at least two levels to the mind. There is the conscious level. There is the unconscious level. Our conscious mind provides us with the immediate awareness of things. You're aware that you're in church, I hope. You're aware that there are lights on and that someone is speaking. But we're also aware of the fact that there's another part of our mind that's occupied by information not presently in the focus of our attention. But of course, you can recall this information at any moment that you wish. If you happen to find the sermon boring, you can think about your last vacation or your last date or the last time you had a little chance to get away. You can just, in a moment, turn on the TV set and in full color You can have about any program you want to in your mind. There are two parts of the mind. There's the conscious, there's the unconscious. Now, there have been those who have compared the mind to an iceberg. 7/8 of the bulk of the iceberg is below the level of the water. And so it is with the mind. Only a part of it is above the level of consciousness. By far, the larger part is buried below the level of consciousness. And we're aware of the fact that there is this unconscious level that is working, for even while we sleep, we know something's going on in there. We have dreams from time to time. Some are good dreams that have us awakened laughing. Sometimes they're not so good. Can even have us awaken in tears. But there is something going on there even while we sleep. We know that if we say when we go to sleep, we have to be sure we have a big important appointment, or we have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. Well, many of us, if that is the case, when we go to sleep, we wake up several times in the night. We think it's 6 o'clock in the morning. And the reason for that, that suggestion has been implanted in our mind, and our mind continues to work. Those nights when you're so terribly restless and find yourself turning and twisting, it could, I guess, be the result of pickles and ice cream before you retire that night, but it could also be the result of problems on your mind that leave you restless. The mind keeps working. It is a good thing, if you do have a problem getting to sleep at night, to feed your mind with good thoughts when you retire. There are those who think they have proof to certify the fact that if you have a problem of this variety, if you read the scripture, if you talk to Jesus before you go to sleep at night, just before you go to sleep, it will help you to go to sleep more quickly and sleep more calmly. But fact number two, our lives are influenced by this deep mind as well as by the surface mind. David Seabury, a noted psychologist, claims that 3/4 of our mental activity transpires below the level of our awareness and comes to the surface only as the time of active use arrives. Dr. Charles Mayo said that 75% of human action is controlled by the unconscious and only 25% by the conscious mind. It manifests itself in various ways. I read once of a Sunday school teacher who became an atheist. He just threw it all over and said, "I don't believe in any of it anymore." But as a psychologist began to work with him and probe the reason for his disbelief, the real reason came out. This Sunday school teacher had been going with a young woman and thought they were going to be married. But one of his fellow Sunday school teachers thought otherwise and began to court her and won her and married her. And the Sunday school teacher decided, not consciously, but subconsciously, he decided that really all of his faith was misplaced in God, and God had dealt unfairly with him, and the way to get back at these who had so bitterly disappointed him was to throw over all of these things that formerly had been so important. Now, he didn't think that through. That was a process of his subconscious mind that did that. I sometimes think this is operative in the one who fails to understand holiness. I think there are many who do not understand holiness, who, if they could explore and plumb the depths of their subconscious mind, they would find out they don't really want to understand holiness. For they know that it will call for a drastic restyling of their lifestyle if they ever admit they do understand. But sometimes the subconscious mind can result in specific physical problems. There was a woman who suddenly had vision problems. She went blind. The doctor said that as they examined her, there was absolutely nothing wrong with her eyes that they could determine, but the woman actually could not see. The doctors called in her minister, and her minister talked with her and asked her, "Did you ever have trouble with your eyes before?" "No, I've never had any trouble, but I can't see." Well, through his careful, compassionate care and concern, he finally revealed to him that her husband was going to leave her for another woman. He'd been unfaithful to her, and her heart was so broken and smashed that it was all about this same time that she lost her sight. Apparently, subconsciously, she thought somehow if she developed some serious physical problem, she could envision herself being carried around by her husband on his hand all the rest of her days, and that he would feel sorry for her and give up this other woman and come back to her, would not leave her blinded. The pastor went to this husband and confronted him with all of this information, and the husband broke and admitted that he had sinned, but he asked God to forgive him and went to his wife and asked her to forgive him too. And they were reunited, and as this transpired, her vision returned. Oh, many of the things we do in life are subtly governed and tinged by the deep mind down below the level of consciousness. Fact number 3. It would appear that the elements in this deep mind are by nature inclined to evil. For down in this area, human nature is in the raw. There are the bear instincts. The animal nature shows through. These instincts have come down through a long line of racial history. They drive for completion. And from the unconscious, many impure thoughts are born. Now, this element of our body makes living the good life a tough struggle. Oh, in conversion, a new love and loyalty are introduced. Jesus is accepted into the conscious mind as Lord and Savior, but the unconscious mind resists this encounter. The conscious mind is Christian, but the deep mind is somewhat pagan. The conscious mind has been converted, but the deep mind is still not fully aligned with the will of God. And as a result, we have a major conflict going on within ourselves. Down deep within us, we feel tempers and lusts and fears that have not been cleansed away. We feel like we're sitting on top of a volcano. Something down below pushes up. One part of us says, "Get behind me, Satan." But another part of us says, "Get back there, Satan, and push me on." We can understand the words of Paul there. They're not strange words to us when he said, "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." Well, then the question can rightly be asked, can Christ redeem only the conscious mind? Is that the best he can do, or can he also redeem the unconscious mind? Can he cleanse the depths, or do we still have to sit on the lid all the time? I believe that the unconscious mind can be cleansed. Otherwise, God hasn't made a full remedy for our malady. Am I saying that the devil can no longer tempt us? Oh, no. The devil will always be able to tempt us. But I believe that God can cleanse this subconscious element of our life. If he can't do that, he's only done a half job on us. Paul was sick of himself in his dual nature, and he cried out in despair. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then in faith, he answers his own question. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And now we come to the main point of the whole matter, the cleansing of the deep mind. To be fully redeemed and cleansed, we require two crises experience. Stated tonight perhaps a little differently. One, conversion of the conscience. Two, cleansing of the unconscious. And this second crisis is a must if we would be delivered from inner conflict and become recipients of supreme joy. If we would find ourselves obeying God's command to be holy, to be filled, to be completely cleansed, have your mind renewed, and so be transformed in nature. How can it be done? Well, first of all, we must recognize your inner impurity and conflict. Accept yourself as you are. Now, that's a hard thing to do. But if we're going to get help for this malady, first of all, we have to accept ourselves as we are. Don't try to explain it away. Don't try to rationalize and say it hasn't happened and you don't know what we're talking about. Honestly and sincerely face up to your condition. Don't try to hide your inner feelings or rationalize concerning them, but clearly recognize their presence and confess your needs. Like the impure Isaiah, who when he saw the king, when he saw God in his holiness, he cried out, "I'm lost, I'm undone, woe is me," said Isaiah. "I'm a man of unclean lips." But God remedied his condition when from off the altars a live coal was taken by that angel and sped to Isaiah, and his lips were purged. Then he was able to say, when God asked, "Who will go for me? Whom can I send?" After that experience, Isaiah was able to say, "Here am I, send me." Jeremiah wrote, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." First of all, recognize your inner uncleanness and confess it to God. Number two, have faith to believe that the Holy Spirit is able to reach down and work in depth that are beyond your control. You can't reach your heart to cleanse it. We talked of that this morning, but God can. He can do what we cannot do. The healer can go to the center of the disease. God can minister to our entire being. He leaves no stone unturned. And let your faith be based on the finished work of Christ and upon the direct promises of the Word of God. For Paul states clearly, Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. In another place he wrote, he saved us not because of deeds done by us in righteousness, but in virtue of his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit, which he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. And again, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. God's promises concerning inner cleansing are clear and specific. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Christ died to cleanse the depths. God in his word promises to cleanse. The Holy Spirit stands ready to complete the work. Now you have to come to that point where you exercise your faith and believe that he is able and willing to cleanse you and to do it now. First of all, recognize your inner impurity and conflict. Have faith to believe the Holy Spirit can and will cleanse. And then thirdly, personally seek through prayer the coming of the Holy Spirit for your personal cleansing. Confess your inner impurity to him. Your selfishness, resentment, pride, jealousy, lust, just name them out to him. God, I can't control myself. You take control. Cleanse the depths of my heart, my innermost being, my motives, my ambitions, my desires, my urges, my instincts. And when you pray, believe. Say to yourself, he has offered, I have asked. He has promised, I do now receive. Let your faith rest peacefully on the promises of God and not on your feelings. Faith is simply accepting the statements of God as true and true for you. The fourth step, maintain an attitude of surrender and obedience. Sanctification is just the beginning. It is a crisis that initiates a process. It is a daily attitude. The will must remain surrendered. We must be sensitive to the Spirit's guidance and check. We must walk in the light. If we take these definite steps, the Holy Spirit will move in and purify our driving urges at depths we can't control. He'll cleanse at the deepest level of our being. He cleanses the self-urge from selfishness. Self is still there. We can't be without self, but we can be unselfish with our self organized around God. The Holy Spirit cleanses the sex urge from sensuality and dedicates it for God-given purposes within the bounds of marriage. The Holy Spirit cleanses the social urge. The Word says, be not conformed to this world. The Word encourages us to seek God's approval before we seek man's approval. When we let the Holy Spirit do his work within us, the inner struggle ends. We're still at war, but against the enemy without, not the enemy within. The unconscious can be remade. What it is, it'll help remake us. Our mind is kind of like a bank. We can't draw out of a bank something we haven't put into the bank. So it is with our mind. Fill your mind with evil, and evil will come out. Fill it with the treasures of heaven and spiritual truth and joy will come out. Fill your renewed mind with the good things of God, and when a difficult day comes along, you'll be able to draw on your spiritual reserves for victory in dark days. Redemption and sanctification remake the whole man, the conscious, the unconscious. God promises, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean, clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will also take away the stony heart out of your flesh, And I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. There was a leper who went to Jesus one day. He said, Lord, if you want to, you can make me clean. Jesus replied, of course I want to. Be thou clean. And friend, I tell you, that's your opportunity tonight. Be thou clean. Inside, outside, the conscious mind, even the subconscious. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.